Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk absolutely continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, what is it, July the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we ride for the brand. We promote all things moral, all things liberty, the supreme law of the land. The Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And best of all, we believe the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips? Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Day two was yesterday. Day three today of freedomfest.com. If you can't attend in person, you're going to have FOMO, fear of missing out. We are here live, incredible events happening all day long, but you can get the stream, freedomfest.com, and you can participate from the convenience of your own home. How do you like them apples? We had Andre Matei, CEO of Robos Tools. Robostools.com is the website for that. They say robotic tools, creating a new power tool experience. Pretty neat technology there. They're the global leader in digital power tools, developing technology, they say, for a connected world by pushing the limits of what's possible. So we checked that out. Hey, the drill reimagined, if you will. We also talked to Brian Rust, RustQuinnegift.com. Honest Money Report. We broke that down just for you, as we always do every week on your radio. Inflation rockets to a 13-year high, says CNN. Current annual inflation for the 12 months ending in May 2021 is 4.9%, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Lindell offering $5 million to any cyber expert that can prove his voter fraud data false. You want $5 million? Start hacking, people. You got to go to his conference, he says, though, in August. So check that out. We also talked about Rand Paul. I just exposed King Fossey for lying to the public, says Rand. Sends a letter to the Department of Justice requesting criminal charges. A criminal referral is what they're calling it right now. That'll be debatable. What's a referral versus charges? Come on, Rand. Let's get it done, buddy. Don't just make it sound good for political points. Let's get it done and sue him and toss that sucker in prison, shall we? Got to have due process first. But other than that, hey, let's see if he created victims. Oh, yeah, victims everywhere. Carnage everywhere in the economy from whacked out Fauci's agenda, right? All right, that was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two yesterday, we had our guest on. Her name was Brianna Sackville. She's a journalist and a government strategist. Radio KLSM News. And they're in Oregon. She did a great job. Interesting, her covering a lot of different topics relating to Oregon and a lot of the scandals and what civil unrest taking place, right? Then we had our guest on, William F. Jasper, American journalist and author and senior editor at the New American magazine, thenewamerican.com. We talk about tough talk, warm embrace, Biden, Wall Street, China. Why are we in bed with the communist Chinese is the question, right? We also talked about Constitutional Sheriff Wayne Ivey says he's a patriot. Others say he's something more menacing. They're tracking the rise of constitutional sheriffs. They claim that it's a threat to democracy. Well, first off, you idiots, we don't have a democracy. Got it? We have a constitutional republic. Get used to it. Big difference. Lawmakers say they defend America. Anyway, it's in Florida Today, which is a division of USA Today. Interesting article attacking Richard Mack and attacking all of us at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. They want you to believe that somehow we're violent, that we're criminals, that we think we're above the law. They lie on every count, and they ought to be sued. Maybe our next guest ought to sue him for us. What do you think? All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mark J. Victor with us. He's also accompanied by Andrew Markentel. And they are with a group. They say they're the world's only real peace movement. Well, I hope there's more than just them. But you know what? Good for them. I believe in the peace movement. That's for sure. LiveandLetLive.org is their website. They say radically pro-freedom, globally pro-peace. attorneysforfreedom.com is their other website. Mark, welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Wait, we got to turn your mic on. Flip your switch up, buddy. There you go.
Thanks for having me, Sam. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
You're very welcome. Your partner, Andrew, with us. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, Sam.
Welcome, sir. All right, so are both of you guys attorneys?
We are. Yeah, both of us are attorneys. I've been practicing for almost 30 years now. And our firm is a very hardcore pro-freedom activist law firm. Every attorney at our firm, in order to even be eligible to be hired, has to sign what we call the Live and Let Live Pledge.
Live and Let Live Pledge. Liveandletlive.com is where you find that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll dig into that in just a second. But I gotta kind of drill into the obvious, kind of weird stuff first. You guys are super into freedom, super libertarian, right?
I guess you could describe us that way. Yeah,
I think
sure.
That's fair.
Some would say you border on the anarchist movement, right?
I don't see a difference, really, between the two movements.
I agree, but this is anarchy defined as we don't believe government's the solution. We can do everything by private contract, not the anarchy that we're going to riot in the streets, right? Let's be clear about the definition, because they want to pervert that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of labels, Sam. I think that there's a principle at the bottom of this. We call it the live and let live principle. It's really simple. Don't be an aggressor. Don't use force, fraud, coercion. Don't put other people at substantial risks of harm. If you do that, we as a society, as a community, as a country, should do everything we can to stop you. If you don't do that, you should be left alone, whether we like it or not.
Amen. What I always hear people say is this: don't hurt me, don't take my stuff.
Yeah, fair way to say it. Another way to say it, sure.
All right. Now, I got a question, though, because it's kind of an epiphany in this discussion, or a little bit of a contradiction here, right? I don't mean to be a contrarian, but I want to point this out. So you guys are members of the bar, right?
We are.
How does that work for a libertarian?
Just fine. No problem.
Isn't the bar an international cabal that wants to just lock us down and make you work for the beast, not for us?
Well, to be fair about it, this is one of the many things that I would change if I was king. I don't think there should be a union called the bar that allows people to practice law or not practice law. So I'm not in favor of that. But then again, there are many things I'm not in favor of that I would change. So this is some of the things that we do, given where we are right now, which is not the perfectly free society that we want to get to.
Andrew, what about the idea that, you know what, you can't really work for me if you have to pay allegiance to the bar? Is that fair? A lot of patriots say that. I'm not trying to trap you guys with it, but I think there's nobody better to answer that than you.
These are fair questions, and, you know, I never felt constrained by the fact that I'm a member of the bar to try to push the bus in the right direction. What we're trying to do is take a society right now that isn't perfect and do everything that we can within our sphere of influence to make it right. And like Mark said, it's not the ideal setup. Certainly, if we could change things, and we are working to change things. We're an activist law firm, as Mark mentioned, and we take cases and do constitutional challenges and challenge statutory law and challenge ethics codes and challenge regulatory law to try to change these things in the right direction.
attorneysforfreedom.com, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to talk a little bit about this then. You guys have done quite a bit of work for the Patriot Movement. You're really changing the landscape. It has a lot to do with, what do you say, how the world deals with this peace movement, this freedom movement, this idea that, you know what, we need to live and let live?
Yeah, I think that we, as the freedom community, whether patriot crowd or libertarians or anarcho-capitalist or whatever you want to, voluntarist, sovereign citizens, we've done a really bad job at communicating the fundamental principle that is underlying everything we're saying, what we call the live and let live principle, what the libertarians called the non-aggression principle, what John Stuart Mill called the harm principle, what you called, hey, leave me alone, don't hurt me, don't take my stuff principle. It's all the same thing. It's you're in charge of you, and I'm in charge of me. I'm in charge of my body, my property, my money, my time. That's the thing that we have failed to communicate, because I think if we did communicate that properly, all reasonable people would agree with us. And they don't right now because they don't understand what we're saying.
Andrew, articulate the pledge for me, will you? What am I pledging to? What am I agreeing to when I say live and let live?
Absolutely. So when we're talking about live and let live, we're saying this is This is the first thing you should do is kind of separate in your mind the difference between the moral world and the legal world. So let me explain what that means. The legal world is when you violate somebody else's rights. You use force on them or coerce them or defraud them or maybe create a substantial risk of all of the above. At any rate, you're violating somebody else's rights. Well, this is the legal world. This is what we think should be the legal rules, right? This is where if you violate that rule, if you violate somebody else's rights, there's going to be a formal consequence. There's going to be a formal sanction or punishment. That's the legal world. But then the moral world is something completely different. And the live and let live principle says if you don't violate somebody else's rights in the ways described, you may think it's wrong, you may think it's immoral, you may think it's ill-advised, you may try to talk that person out of that conduct, but you don't get to stop them from doing the conduct. It should be legal, even if you think it's immoral or even if you think that it's wrong. And separating those two is the first step of the live and let live principle. But another thing that that you're pledging to when you join the live and let live movement is something that the libertarians and many folks in the freedom crowd tend to fall a bit short on, in our view. And that's, we encourage aspirational values because we're not just a freedom movement. We're trying to get to peace. We're a peace movement. So what do you need to get to peace? We're encouraging aspirational values such as open-mindedness and tolerance and voluntary kindness and things of this nature to encourage peace.
And civility comes to mind, right?
And civility.
It's one of the values, yeah.
Yeah, we can agree to disagree agreeably is the idea.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. Two attorneys on the line. They don't like the bar, but they don't find it a conflict either. Imagine that. Maybe they can beat the IRS for me, huh? All right, hang tight. Sam Bushman, this is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated radio talk show.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on your radio. We're talking to attorneys, Mark J. Victor, Andrew Markentel. We're talking about the world's only real peace movement. Yeah, live and let live principle and movement. It's all wrapped into one. Liveandletlive.com, one website. Attorneysforfreedom.com, the other. So, Mark, you wanted to finish saying something about the bar real quick, right?
Yeah, I think this is a big thing that a lot of people in the Freedom crowd, and I've heard it before because I've been in this business now for almost 30 years. I've been a hardcore pro-freedom guy the entire time, and I've heard people say, oh, my God, they're members of the bar. I can't trust them. I'm here to tell you absolutely flat not correct. I would never say anything I didn't believe in. I don't have to take any case that I don't want to take. I'm not doing anything. Nobody can make me do anything that I don't agree to do, period. If I felt that way, I would resign from the bar if I couldn't be free to speak my mind. It's true that there is a certain level of decorum that you have to bring in court. I think if we're going to have civilized courts, I don't have any objection to that. But I've never felt restrained from saying what I wanted to say. In fact, I've said in court on many occasions, the law is wrong. My client maybe broke the law, but did nothing wrong whatsoever. And I've gone off on court on many, many occasions.
Because it's a victimless situation, right?
Every time I go off in court on that exact point. So I think just because people conclude that, oh, my God, someone's a member of the bar, they can't be trusted, just not true. It's a function of the character of the attorney that they're hiring.
And very regularly while we're in court, we're arguing to the judge that the law is wrong, that they're mistaken. For example, you can find online, search Mark talking about the drug war in court. You'll see us advocating for clients saying the legislature is just wrong about the drug war.
Right.
And that's pretty easily provable.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
Look
it takes
it up.
All kinds
but
of money.
It's never hamstrung us at all in how
ever.
We advocate.
All right.
For
well, that's
clients.
Good news. I just wanted to ask, and I don't mean to try to be contrarian, but I know a lot of people wonder that kind of stuff, and I thought, hey, who better to clarify?
It's a good question. Go to Google and search Mark Victor and in court and look at some videos, and you will quickly learn that I am not restrained.
And Mark is M-A-R-C, just so people know. Mark Victor.
That's right.
All right. Andrew, I want you to read us this pledge, Live and Let Live. It's a pledge. It's a principle, and it's a movement, right?
Yes, that's true, and I'd be happy to read it. This is what we're asking people to subscribe to. If people can get behind these 10 principles as part of the pledge, I think they're going to like this movement. So, number one, the Live and Let Live principle is violated when any person or group, that's important, or group, including governments, initiates force, fraud, or coercion against another person or their property. Number two, the Live and Let Live principle is also violated when any person or group engages in conduct that creates a substantial threat or risk of harm to another person, right? So this is like the drunk driver who's driving on the wrong side of the road or somebody who's firing their firearm up into the air. They haven't actually transgressed against somebody yet, but they're creating a substantial risk thereof. Number three, the Live and Let Live principle applies equally to all people, groups, organizations, corporations, and governments. Number four, it should always be illegal for any person, group, organization, corporation, or government to violate the Live and Let Live principle. Number five, competent adults own themselves. They also own all of their peacefully acquired money, property, and time. As owners, they are entitled to make decisions over these items to the exclusion of all others. Number six, I recognize people hold different views on morality. So long as the conduct of other competent and consenting adults does not violate the Live and Let Live principle, the conduct should be legal, even if it violates my personal moral views. Number seven, I agree to live my life in accordance with the Live and Let Live principle. Number eight, I support the aspirational values of justice, tolerance, open-mindedness, voluntary kindness, rational thought, honesty, civility, building high levels of trust with others, and a commitment to the truth. I oppose forcing these values on others through the law. Number nine, I support the overall goals of the Live and Let Live movement to bring about a free and peaceful and prosperous world while justly increasing human happiness and decreasing human suffering. And finally, number 10, I recognize that for me to live in freedom and peace, I must legally tolerate the equal rights of others to peacefully use their bodies, money, property, and time in ways I personally believe are unwise, unhealthy, offensive, or immoral, so long as the Live and Let Live principle is not violated.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, 10 principles. Now, some of them seem very similar. Andrew, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think that
they're not exactly similar if you pay attention. I'm just telling you, at first glance, they seem similar, right?
Yeah, they're kind of following a logical progression, right? First, it's kind of getting you to understand, okay, what is force, for example? What is a violation of the Live and Let Live principle? And it kind of walks you through a logical progression that makes you understand, oh, okay, I understand now. If I'm going to live free, eventually I've got to let other people live free as well. That's the let live part of the Live and Let Live movement. And we should mention, too, there's a forthcoming book that we're kind of putting the finishing touches on right now. I want to say it's about 85% done. And we tried to make the book kind of follow this structure of the principles. And they're sequential for a reason, because as Mark said, the big failing of the freedom movement so far has been our ability to communicate our amazing message. The principle is correct. It's just a matter of making people understand it. And packaging it as the live and let live principle is something that people already understand and already appreciate the world over. It, every language and culture has a way to say it. Every religion has a way to say it, whether it's the golden rule or anything else. And people, the wind is at our backs if we approach it as live and let live.
And if we approach it that, you know what, we're here to kind of help people understand this, and it's going to take people time to get there, right? Because I can live the way I want. It's just hard for me to let live, too, right?
That's the part.
Really where people get stuck.
That's where they get stuck. And as I mentioned in my talk yesterday, this is where the big boys and big girls of freedom come in. And the freedom is not defined as the right of other people to do whatever it is you think is appropriate to do, right? It's the rights of them to do whatever they want to do, so long as they don't interfere with you. That's the principle.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And at first glance, you go, wait a minute, my morals won't let me do that. I get it. At the same time, though, you got to be very careful, because that pressure will be put on you if you have viewpoints or thoughts or beliefs that are against somebody else's moral standard. And I'll give you one key one that's interesting. It's the Christians versus the non-Christians. Oftentimes, it's also this idea about Christians debating, you know, the Godhead. Some say, hey, it's the Trinity, they're all one. Somebody else says, no, man, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three different distinct beings. No, that's blasphemy. You know, so it, this applies to thought, too, is my whole point, right? And conscience.
Yeah, the idea is believe whatever you want, right? Believe whatever you like. Don't interfere with somebody else. That's the principle. And the idea is what it, like what Andy said earlier. We've got to get in our heads there's a difference between a legal rule and a moral rule. Once we get that point across, people could then say things like, you know, I think prostitution is immoral and nobody should engage in it. And I try to talk everybody out of it. However, if you're dealing with competent, consenting adults, this doesn't violate the rule. And so I also support it being legal. And if people can realize there is no contradiction there, welcome to the freedom movement.
And I don't support it being legal because I back the principle. I support it being legal because where's the authority to draw the line? And since we don't have authority to draw the line, we're going to simply step back and say, you know what? I just don't control everything.
That's right.
Wow, can you open up your arms and say, I don't control everything and everybody.
Yeah, we can still come out and say, look, prostitution's bad. It's a sin. Don't do it. I'll try to talk you out of it. It's wrong. Please don't do it. And try to help people to get out of that lifestyle. No
but
problem.
But can you use the government gun as your go-to?
You got it. You
and
got
that's
it.
The
that's
question.
The principle. People, Americans need to understand this above everybody else, because, look, if we want to be the land of the free, this has got to be more than just a slogan. We got to walk the walk.
Amen to that. It's radical, baby, I'm telling you. But we're about out of time, but I want to get to this, too. Have you guys listened to the Peace Radicals podcast? Mark and Andrew, available every week on the podcast. You can check it out on their website, liveandletlive.com, right?
.org. Liveandletlive.org.
I guess it's attorneysforfreedom.com. That's where I'm getting mixed up.
You got
Sorry,
it,
guys.
You got it.
Liveandletlive.org. That's what the podcast is. It's weekly. Give me a 30-second on the podcast.
You know, the podcast is myself and Andy bringing in guests, some of whom are very famous pro-freedom types. We bring in economists. We try to get people who disagree. So if you're out there and you're saying, Amy, I really disagree with what I'm hearing, we'd love to have you on the podcast. Our purpose here is to have a civilized, intelligent, professional discussion with people to try to get to the differences and always back to the principle.
There you have it. Andrew, are you kind of the color guy?
What's that?
Are you the color guy on the podcast?
Oh, you know, I help moderate everything, and I reel Mark back in when he gets on too big of a rant.
That's
there
true.
There you go. That's necessary.
Yes, for sure.
Absolutely. Andrew, if you could tell America or the world one thing, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to check out liveandletlive.org. I think it's the most important thing going on in the world today. We just went through a global event together, okay, with this pandemic. And there's a lot more global events coming. Right now, We have things on the way. There are big things on the way, like synthetic biology, where people are going to be able to create viruses on a much on a smaller scale. People are going to be
all right,
able-
we're out of time. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us, Sam.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Arizona state senators are calling to decertify the 2020 general election after a large number of discrepancies and irregularities were found in the Maricopa audit. Arizona Senator Republican Wendy Rogers on One America News.
Well, it proved that the election was rife with inaccuracies in the election certification that we submitted months ago. Most prominent data point that jumped out at me was the data point of 74,000 plus mail-in ballots that were used as votes but never really mailed out to the voters.
The Democrat presidential candidate won Maricopa County by roughly 10,000 votes. The United States House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly on Thursday to authorize 8,000 additional special visas for Afghans who served the United States during the occupation of Afghanistan that has now come to an end. USA Radio News.
Nothing is more important than your vote. Now, lawmakers across America are pushing for election integrity to make sure your vote really counts. All this week, Newsmax's Sean Spicer and Lindsay Keith are exposing the flaws in our voting systems and how to fix them. Make sure you watch Spicer and Company tonight on Newsmax for the real truth about your vote and how Texas, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and more are in the crosshairs. Everyone is watching Newsmax. It's on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. And you can watch Newsmax on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Plus, download the free Newsmax app on your phone and start watching now. Newsmax is your trusted news source. Every night, watch great shows, starting with Spicer & Company, Greg Kelly, Grant Stinchfield, Cortez & Pellegrino, and a lot more. Go to Newsmax for real news. Watch it today.
A St. Louis murder trial is dropped because prosecutors failed to show up. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner's office is being criticized again, this time for not showing up for a hearing for an accused killer, forcing the judge to dismiss the case. It's one of three murder cases dismissed in St. Louis in 1 week. St. Louis Alderman Joe Vaccario suggests Gardner shouldn't be in her position much longer on Fox News.
It should have never happened in the first place. Were you on vacation? Did you not know that the attorney assigned to that was on maternity leave? Don't you know where your employees are at? For sure. God's sake, you know, you need to be in charge of your office. If you can't do that, you shouldn't be in that office.
Mississippi's Attorney General asked the Supreme Court on Thursday to overturn the landmark abortion decision Roe v. Wade. In the brief, the Mississippi Attorney General noted that the Constitution's text does not mention abortion. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. Sam Bushman, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Man, two libertarian anarchist kind of lawyers, liveandletlive.com on your radio. They don't seem to have a problem with the bar. And I talked to them on the break. I'm going to be on their podcast. They're going to come back on the show later with more detailed breakdown. I was telling them they're at odds with their fellow anarchists because you know what? A lot of those guys want no government. These guys are saying, well, you got to have some government. What? From a libertarian? Are you kidding? Anyway, very interesting dichotomy there. But we'll dig into that more with them later. For now, though, we got a man on the radio who is a professional gambler in Las Vegas for 4 years. But believe it or not, John Paul Mendoza was able to turn that experience into becoming a serial entrepreneur and more. You got a lot of credentials. I'll leave them out for now because we're pressed for time. But welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Sam, thanks a lot. Really glad to be here. Excited.
Now, tell me how this all works then. You went gambling. What was that all about?
Well, the beauty of it was is that school I was going to, private school, went broke between my junior and senior year, went out and taught myself how to count cards and blackjack. What better way for life to have no rules but to go to Vegas and start playing, you know?
All right. If you get good enough and you count well enough, though, they just kick you out, right?
Well, you know, that's the least of your troubles, but it's also really a terrible job. So what you find out is that blackjack can be beaten, but yes, you're right. The casinos are not there to do that. So
no, they're there to hose you, and if you can get the upper hand, then they're like, hey, we'll send you right out, right?
Right. Well, and then the arc goes is that I moved to poker, and then, of course, proposition bets, and business is all about being a proposition bet, so set me up for that. By the way, when people said to me, John, how do you find somebody who wants to gamble in Vegas? All you do is you say, you want to bet? And if somebody said anything, they blinked their eyes, then you know what? You got to bet. You're going to find something to bet on. That's what life's all about.
All right. Are you betting on Donald Trump coming back?
Well, I would say the odds are long because I'll tell you what, you know, once you get that fire extinguished a little bit, you can be the guy on the edge. But, you know, you got to have a great second act. It's hard to do. Tough to do a sequel.
Amen to that. I get that. Now, you're a turnaround specialist. You've got 31 turnarounds under your belt, right?
I do. Yeah. Turnaround means that business is going south. You got to turn it around. You have no resources. You got no time. And you just better figure out how to get it done soon because the place is on fire.
So you're the co-author of a modern book now on basically turnaround position. Most businesses fail in the first 5 years, or 5 minutes, I'm sorry. It just takes some years to realize it, right?
Absolutely. And people make a mistake right up front. They get all excited. You know what they do is they call their mom. They call their best friend. They say, isn't this a great idea? Their friends go, of course it's a great idea. It's the best idea you've ever had since lunch. And then what they do is they go out and they start spending money. They start raising money. They start doing things. They don't have an idea about whether or not the customers agree with that, if the customers don't agree. Because, again, customers vote with their feet. They vote with money.
Is it saying that you got to do the due diligence and do the research first? Or are you saying they've got to turn their idea into a business plan, all of the above? What are you saying?
Well, before you even waste any time on a business plan, I say, know what your position is. Where do you fit? Sam, you fit in a very specific spot in the spectrum. Every place, there's a spectrum. There's a table out there, whether we want to believe it or not. Inside your head, there's a position. I give you a quick positioning test. Here you go. Sam, you cannot fail this test. Name a Japanese car brand.
A Japanese car brand? Subaru?
See, there you go. That tells you. That tells me a lot about you. See, Subaru is not number one, not number two. Subaru is an odd brand, but you know what?
But they're one of the best brands. That's why I chose it.
See, right.
Because they got killer cars.
But listen to how Sam says it. He is now telling us a series of value things about Subaru. Subaru stands for something. And if you look at their failures, they said, hey, let's go out and build a sports car. Mistake. So you have to have a position, and that's the challenge. See, we all end up with a position that'll make us successful, and then what you know what we'll do? We'll say, well, I'm not happy with that. You know, this is the beautiful blonde who, you know, stars in the movies, and she says, nobody's taking me seriously. What I want to do is I want to play something else, whereas she's got money by that position that she has. So whatever position that you find out the market accepts, you have to live with that position.
And you might think the position is different than it turns out to be by the marketplace, right?
Marketplace is the arbiter. Marketplace tells us what's going on. Southwest Airlines. Let's say Southwest Airlines says, you know, we're going to come up with a super deluxe first class. Nobody's going to believe it. Nobody's going to think about it. This is Sears.
That's because they were the treat us all the same, we're going to have fun brand, right?
Exactly. Well, and think about it. Sears decided they were going to go upscale. Really? Going to go upscale? It'd be like Walmart saying, you know, we're going to bring in a Louis Vuitton bag. I mean, you know, first off, nobody's going to say Louis Vuitton. They're going to say Louis who?
Tell me how the turnarounds happen then. When you dig in, is it that you help them align that with the marketplace? Do you help them save money budgetarily speaking, all the above? Where does it start?
So I live in the sales, marketing, and advertising part of that. And the first thing I do is I say, listen, if we can get more people buying, we can get more people coming in, then we can then I'll get a finance guy and we can go start making things happen.
And you say that because increasing revenue makes a bigger difference than cutting expenses.
Oh, absolutely, because when you have money, you can actually do things. But see, you can never trim enough to get rich. You're never going to be able to economize enough to get rich. You need more input. You need more income. Frankly, Sam, one of the most important things that I do, especially if I go into an industrial company, is I fire the entire sales force. Now, management hates that. They say, well, John, what are we going to do? And I say, we're not doing anything now. How are we going to know the difference? because now we got to go get people who are going to get serious. We got to find people who are going to be ambitious. We got to get people who are saying, let's go get up every day and do it. I mean, I meet people who say, you know, I'm beaten down, John. Can you motivate me? I said, certainly. How about I'm going to help you go get another job? They go, well, that sounds like you're firing me. I said, no, you fired yourself. You're resting. You're retired in place here. You got to move on. And we got to get somebody in who's not going to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got to think outside the box a little bit as you work on some of this stuff. Tell me what attracted you to Freedom Fest.
Well, I started way over on the left. I mean, I was one of those guys who was way over on the left. I went to a very, you know, progressive school, if you will,
yeah,
and protested the Vietnam War, did all those kind of things. And then what I discovered is the fact that, well, everybody on the left is believing that, you know, my stuff is their stuff as long as it was only going one direction.
I'm from the don't hurt me, don't take my stuff crowd.
Well, so what I did was I thought this is a great place to be, right? Great place to do all that stuff. But what happened is I realized that I started a business when I was 15. And once you start a business, what you discover is that all your friends now realize you have money and they don't have money. And what they say is, aren't you covering this check? Aren't you doing this? And all of a sudden I went, I see how this works. You know, I'm not somebody's sugar daddy. So I started thinking about liberty pretty early on. The other thing is that I ran into regulations. Here's one. Go to start my first business. My mother was my first venture capitalist. She lent me $20 to get the license. So I go get the license, and I walked in the state of Colorado. I said, I need a resale license. The woman says, well, you know, you can't get a resale license. You're too young. I said, well, you know, it turns out not to be correct. I said, have you read the statute that you, in fact, enforce? And she goes, young man, I don't know. This is, you know, playtime's over. This is not fun time. And I said, no, this is real. So she had to go get her boss. Her boss came out, says, you know, was this like some school project? I said, no, I'm starting a business. So I told them chapter and verse what section in Colorado code it was. He went out and he called the state attorney and came back and said, give him a license. Turns out there's no minimum age. He goes, I don't know how you're going to do business. You can't even drive a car. I said, I didn't know that was a prerequisite for being in business.
Yeah, I still can't drive a car as a blind person, but I can run a business now.
Exactly. So that was an example early on of when I said, you know, I see this bureaucratic mess early on up close and in person. They're going to stop me from doing what I want to do. The guy says, do you know how risky it is to be a business? Think about it. A guy who's a career bureaucrat who doesn't even know the law that he's trying to administer is going to tell me what I can and cannot do about being in business. I said, as far as I know, again, I'm 15. I don't know what much from anything. I said, as far as I know, I need this sheet of paper so I can go out and go buy stuff and go sell stuff. That's what I need to do. And I did.
When you say it takes 3 to 5 years for people to figure out their business is failing, is it because that's how long it takes to drain their money?
Well, exactly. You know, they've got people. They're true believers. You know, they got mom, they got dad, they got auntie, they got somebody, they got friends. They're believing the dream. They're only one little miracle before they're going to make it. You know, I said, you know, if you believe in miracles, that's great. If you're sitting there praying on it, that's great. While you're praying, why don't you pray that you can dial that phone? That's better. I want to pray for abundance. I want to chant for abundance. I met people who are going to chant for abundance. You know, I said, well, if that means getting people on the phone and chanting to them and they'll buy, I'm all for it. But if it doesn't mean that, then you know what, you're kidding yourself.
And it doesn't mean that 99% of the time.
Well, it shouldn't. Well, I mean, here's the lesson I got from my mother. I was going through a slump. Anybody out there who's never been through a slump, never been in business, never been in sales, never done really anything much in their life. I'm going through a slump, and I really need this sale because, I mean, I'm up against it. I'm selling technology. I said to my mother, devout Catholic, she would go light candles. I said, Mom, would you light a candle so I can win this deal? She says, John, that doesn't work that way. She goes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go light a candle. You got to send me the money. You have to send me the money. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go light your candle. What I'm going to ask is that you're going to have the strength to go through and do what you have to do. And if you do that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get what you're going to get, but I'm going to pray for your strength. You can't pray for the deal. You got to pray for the strength to do the deal.
It's kind of like when bad troubles come to you. You don't just run around and ask why. You run around and say, what should I learn and what you want me to do?
Exactly. Yeah. And you have to do something. And the number one thing that I say to somebody when they say is we have to do action.
Action. Speaking of that, ladies and gentlemen, he's co-author of the modern book about positioning. Most businesses fail in the first 5 minutes, but it usually takes 3 to 5 years to find out, to realize it. PositionToWinBook.com to learn more. John Paul Mendoza with us, ladies and gentlemen, on your radio. Hang tight. More to come.
Thank you. As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, John Paul Pinoza with me. We're talking about business. He was a professional gambler for 4 years, learned a lot of critical lessons now brought to his entrepreneurial skills. Serial entrepreneur, if you will. Works on turnarounds, works on changing the game for folks. Starts with some radical changes that people aren't really comfortable with, but you know what? That's what it takes to kind of get a clue, to kind of make the difference, to kind of understand. He's the co-author of a modern book, Positioning. That's what it's all about. Most businesses fail in the first 5 minutes, but it usually takes 3 to 5 years to find that reality out. You want to learn more, positiontowinbook.com. That's positiontowinbook.com. You want to be positioned to win, ladies and gentlemen, that's for sure. So as you've kind of written the book, who wrote it with you?
Well, my co-conspirator, I call him a co-conspirator, because I'm going to give everybody the formula of how to write a book.
Okay.
Here's what you do. You go out and you get 30 years plus experience. And everybody keeps telling you you should write a book. Then you find somebody and you get yourself a Colombian. That's what I did. I mean, Gabe Batiste is my Colombian.
He's And when you say a Colombian, you mean a highly educated wordsmith.
Well, actually a guy from Colombia who has a great backstory. And what you do is you become business partners with him. And he says, you know what, I'm going to help you get a book out. And he and I worked on it for a couple of years and we got it done. So that was the big push on it. And Gabe is actually a trained musician. Music major, who then went into internet marketing and became a coaching client of mine. Then we became business partners.
And your primary business is what? The book, the podcast, consulting?
Well, I do consulting, and what consulting does is bring me to opportunities, and then I own several businesses that I actually run. So I'm not just a consultant who, you know, when you ask them what the time is, they take your watch and give you the time and then keep your watch. So I actually am somebody who's running a business, multiple businesses every day.
What are your businesses?
Well, we have a business right now in engineering services where we sell video equipment for military helicopters. That's kind of a unique one. Then we have one in commercial real estate appraisal business. We have that. We have a publishing company, and we publish a variety of things.
Obviously, for yourself and others.
For myself and others. And we also have a series of, you know, I do a lot of work with sales training and doing turnaround, so that's consulting. And so those are kind of the main things that we're working on right now.
All right. I wanted to draw that out so people realize this isn't just something that you thought about or whatever. This is something that you live every day, and you apply those skills to what's in the book and those skills to helping people understand, etc. Paul's World's your podcast, right?
The podcast for the book is Position to Win. It's a Paul World is actually what gets me to Freedom Fest, because we decided, my brother and I were disgusted with the political landscape, and we liked Rand Paul, and we're trying to get Rand Paul elected to president, which that didn't work out in 2016. By the way, the gambler in me, after seeing Donald Trump talk at Freedom Fest, I went out and bet five guys, $100, that not only would Donald Trump win the nomination, but he'd win the presidency. And you know what? It was tough collecting from them, Sam, because everybody was so confident that they were never going to have to pay off. So that's how I got
that
to.
That was back in 2016.
2016.
All right, what's going to happen now with the Donald then?
I think if he is wise, what he does is he goes to become the chairman emeritus, and he helps get people elected, and he helps step out of his own world a little bit. And uses that as influence, because if he uses it as influence, I think he can grow to a very large number of people.
What about his desire to create a social media company?
Well,
is that where you should start?
Desire to grow a social media company. Well, first off, I'm going to do just lambast all of the of these parties who did not understand that you need to control and own your resource. When I talked to these people and I said, you have to build your own servers, you have to own all this stuff. And when these people said, John, they're benevolent dictators. You know, when Google says that their word is do no evil, see, in poker we call that a tell. See, that's a tell. You know, when somebody says do no evil, it doesn't mean that they're good people. It just means they understand the value and the power of evil.
Or they understand the consequences, right?
Absolutely. And how to yield that and how to move that forward. So yeah. Should they create their own platform? Absolutely. The question is that are they going to hire political operatives to do it? Or are they going to, in fact, hire technical people who can do it? And I don't know if they're going to hire the technical people, because the technical people is who you need.
There's no doubt you got to build it right from the ground up. I only ask the question because I know that he's been flirting with that idea for quite some time, and it seems like it doesn't materialize to date. And I want to see it materialize, because I give speeches, he who owns the media makes the rules.
Well, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the challenge of having somebody who's a real estate developer actually develop a technology platform is that it is a very different world. And what you need to do is you need to have all the technical people. And what he does is he thinks that he's building a building, which means that you hire a concrete guy and you hire the window guys and you hire these guys. But that isn't how you build a technology company. The reason why Google is so successful, frankly, is what they did is they did something really radical. And you know what that was? They went out and hired a bunch of mathematicians. And what they said is, we're going to do data analysis and do data analysis and do data analysis. And they said, for what purpose? They couldn't even raise the money for Google. Now we can't live without Google. And people say to me, well, John, it's because they know so much about us. Well, no, it's because they asked the questions to figure out how to know so much about us. And then Facebook comes along. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, if he could get out of his own way, would be the richest guy in the world. Why? Because people voluntarily give all kinds of information. Now, why isn't he the richest guy? Because he doesn't know how to build an advertising platform. But the guys at Google said, you know what? Wait a second. We're going to build an advertising platform. In my book, I talk about the fact that I meet people from Google, and they hate the ad business. They hate the thing that makes them the money. In fact, they give people money to work counter to their own best interest, which tells you how powerful a concept it is. You can't kill a great position business. Well, you can eventually. It was called Sears. But, you know, it takes some diligence. So what you have to do is, if Donald Trump wants to build a platform, he's got to go raise the money. And what he's got to do is he's got to put technical people, not bureaucrats, not a bunch of people who are going to tell him what he wants to hear, because he wants to get to the end result. You have to build the infrastructure and understand that infrastructure.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Are you speaking at Freedom Fest?
I am not, but I am. I walk around and talk to everybody.
So. I asked that because you've been at several of them, right?
I have been in several of them.
How come they don't make you a speaker? Your positioning book seems valuable for business owners and entrepreneurs and people that would come to the Freedom Fest, right?
Sam, I'm loving you more.
Got to talk to Mark Schausen, don't I?
Yeah. I mean, I gotta get somebody who's got juice. In Vegas, it was, you know, it's all about the juice. Can you get somebody who's got the juice to get you in the door? But again, I've always been very counter to that. I mean, it's funny when people say to me, you're coming to Freedom Fest, how are you going to meet people? I said, How do I not meet people? I meet people everywhere. I walk around and meet people. I met a guy. I don't know how much time we have. I met a guy sitting on a Avis car rental bus in Denver, Colorado. He was a VP of sales from CNN, knew Ted Turner inside and out. We started this conversation. He goes, "You're a fascinating guy." We ended up having several dinners together. I learned a lot. He told me a lot about how that whole business got started. People said, "How do you meet these people?" I said, "They're everywhere. They're sitting next to you in the car rental bus. You got to ask them. You got to talk to them."
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You can meet people everywhere. Positioning has never been more important than now, and that's kind of the point that we're having, whether it's positioning for your business, whether it's positioning for your life, even if you want to work for somebody else. Positioning and who you know is where it all starts, right?
Absolutely. In fact, how does a guy who never makes it through high school, never goes through college, ends up going out and working for all these tech companies? Position myself.
Now, are you a doctor?
Well, I'm Dr. Speed Selling, but, you know, sometimes I figure, listen, I mean, if somebody can get a FUD behind their name, I mean, sometimes known as a PhD, and then they can call themselves doctor, I can do that. I'm, you know, I can, you know, end up being a doctor because I'm the doctor of speed selling. Absolutely.
All right.
Because I can cure your ills of sales. That's what it's all about. I can show people how to sell faster than they've ever sold before. Now, they say, so does that mean you can change the space-time continuum? No, but I can show you how to get sales in ways that you've never done it before.
All right. Now, Donald Trump is known as the art of the deal guy. You're known as the deal maker, right?
Yeah, I think I'm a deal maker, sure. I think that fits. I think that's a good part of positioning. And you have to make deals because as soon as you step into doing a turnaround, the most important thing you have to understand is that you have no resources. So therefore, most people walk in and say, "I want to be a deal maker because I want to have all the cards." You know what I wish I had is I had all this big bank of money so I can walk in and I can go make deals. No. The ability of a deal maker is to say, "Can I take what I've got and make a deal?" I'll just give you a quick example. There are literally millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of assets dropping on the ground. We recently bought, my partner and I, we just recently bought an internet property for $10. And we get a database with it. Now, I'm talking about a functional database, not just a database. And we also end up with 3,300 names. Now, we have to pay their legal fees because that was part of the deal. So I paid $1,210 for 3,300 leads and their buyers. Now, I don't know. Maybe I overpaid. But I can tell you that right now, if you want to go out and buy leads on Amazon, if you want to buy buyers, they're not available, but you want to buy leads, you want to buy interest, you want to buy likes, you're going to be spending 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 bucks to get some of these. In competitive marketplaces, you might even be spending $1,000 to get a name. Well, I go out and buy it for $1,210 and I get 3,300 of them. And I have a pre-existing relationship because as soon as I buy it, I'm in. So I have a pre-existing relationship. You know how many bidders there were on that, Sam? None. There were no other bidders. Nobody else was even looking at this property. This property was dead. The guy said, "Listen, you know, we're throwing in the towel, John. You know, you got to give us something." I said, $1. They said, "That's an insult. How about 10 bucks?" I said, "Oh, I don't know, guys. I mean, that's like 1,000% more than I started with. But okay, I think I can make that work. Let's see. Couch cushions got to come up." Told my wife, "Leave that change there. Sometimes I might need to buy business."
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the interesting thing about John is this ability to reason through things quickly and to put together new ideas that others haven't considered. That's really one of the great keys to someone who's successful in business. It's that creative genius, if you will, that makes it happen. Now, you got a positioning quiz on your website. We're about out of time, but I want you to mention that because I think that could really help people too.
Well, we put up the positioning website because positioning, so everybody loves the word branding and everybody likes to be out there. And I have a lot of friends who are branding consultants, and I don't want to knock people who have bought me steak dinners. But, you know, branding is this thing, like I say to them, "Great, give me branding story, Harley Davidson. Give me branding story, Ferrari." You know, okay, so you're telling me Harley Davidson 1903 sat there and said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to do all of this work," and we're in South Dakota right now, right, Sam? "We do all of this work, so Sturgis is going to have 300,000 plus people." They built that branding that way? And the answer is no, they did not. What happened is they built a position, and that position built the brand. You need to know your position before you build the brand, unless you end up with the Easter Bunny. I don't know if you ever got a chocolate Easter Bunny, Sam. I did.
Yes, I did, and that sucker's hollow inside, sir.
You got it. And that's exactly what most branding is. It's hollow. People have the pretty colors. It's got the cool logo. They got all that stuff. But what do you stand for?
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a lot of branding, but I got the real deal. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated, global via the podcast talk show, global via the internet streaming, etc. talk show. And you know what? We dig in deep and get the real answers on your radio. John Paul is what he goes by, right?
Yes,
it's
sir.
The Paul World is one of his podcasts. He goes by John. Mendoza is his last name. He specializes in turnarounds and more. You can take his positioning quiz. You can subscribe to their Positioning to Win podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and more. PositionToWinBook.com. Thank you, sir. Liberty Roundtable Live. God save the Republic of the United States of America.